بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأصفياء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. وقال تعالى: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، إلى آخر الآية. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد في أول كلامنا، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد في أوسط كلامنا، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد في آخر كلامنا. Amma ba'd, honorable elders, respected students, all praise and thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with Iman and Islam. All praise and thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with innumerable bounties. And all praise and thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made us in the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a idea that is being pushed on a global level. Some of us might be aware, some of us might not be aware. And that is the idea of a one world religion. And that is being pushed in the faces of people in different guises. One guise is interfaith, one guise is intrafaith, one guise is multifaith, one guise is Abrahamic religion. So this is being pushed in different countries by different people from different quarters. People, they just fall for the idea without understanding and realizing what the whole thing is about. And what is the central theme of this entire issue. So, today inshallah, we'll try and go into the detail of what exactly does interfaith revolve around. What does it signify? What does it mean? So there's some people, they get pulled by the idea and they think that, no, okay, it's fine, so-and-so scholar is saying so, so-and-so scholar is saying so, so-and-so sheikh is saying so, so-and-so imam is saying so. So it might be okay. But those who have no idea about it, those who are simply curious, they have to be made aware of what the whole, what does it really entail? There's nothing hidden in our deen. When ulama explain our aqaid to us, they don't hide anything. But here, there's a lot of things being hidden from the common Muslim. So, to put it in plain and clear, simple terms, that the central pillar around which interfaith revolves is the denial of Khatm Nubuwwat. The denial and negation of Khatm Nubuwwat, that is the aim of interfaith. To deny the finality of the Nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to nullify his work and to render his mission useless. That is the principal aim and the central pillar of interfaith. That's a very bold claim to make. It's true. So let's go into this now and see how we can explain it. Is in times of before, there would be all these weird people, all different kinds of imposters and liars. They would make claim to Nubuwwat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prophesied this. And he said that after me, there will be many liars and deceivers. And they will claim to be a Nabi. But know very well that there is no Nabi after me. So the people would encounter all these chaps and all these imposters. And then they would, some people would get swayed. And then the masses would realize that, no, this person is talking lies, and they would fight them off. These people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them, and all their claims, everything went out the window, went into the wind. That would happen in times of before. For example, Musaylama al-Kadhab and Mirza Qadiani and whoever it was. There were many of them. Now in this modern era in which we live, described by some people as post-modern, we find that the level of deception and deceit has also progressed and also advanced to such an extent that a person is deceived and is defrauded, but he doesn't even know that he's deceived and defrauded. So deep in deception he is, he doesn't even know he's deceived. They say in English, a person, this guy robbed him blind. He never even know, he only picked up 10 years later that, you know, this guy robbed me. So that is in terms of dunya. In terms of deen also, people are getting robbed. There's a lot of imposters walking around. And the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is true. He said there will be many, many imposters. And they will come to you and tell you things that you and your forefathers never even heard about. They'll come to you with such things that you never heard about. So these claims are being made by so many people, and we never heard these claims before. That no, love and let love. Love and let others love. We will all unite under one banner. Fall under the banner of Ibrahim alayhi salam and so on. These are all things people never heard before. Even people that are elderly amongst us never heard these things before. So there are many people that are basically living in the deception, totally hoodwinked. The wool has been pulled over their eyes, and when you try and speak to them, they deny that they are in deception. So when a person invites to interface, or when a person he participates in some kind of interface activity. For example, an interfaith prayer, or some masjid open day, some interfaith iftar, or something like that. What is he actually involved in? He's actually involved in a controlled environment. The environment of an interfaith activity has been prepared in advance. And the person attending, he has to mix with the people of the other religions there under the guise of a humanitarian cause. This is what is told to the public. Now, in order to understand what that means, it's very simple. You find, especially now and in recent times, you look at all the deceit that is prevalent in educational environments, where boys and girls are made to sit in a controlled environment, in a university or college or wherever, they are mixed, it's a mixed gathering, they're put in the same room or lecture hall under the pretext of lectures for educational purposes. That's why they put there. They put in a controlled environment for educational purposes. So now, when you put males and females together and you expect fitna not to happen, you are deceived. You are living in a fool's paradise. So now, the attraction that happens between males and females, it happens in that controlled environment of that lecture room or that lecture hall. They engage in all the filth outside. They don't engage in the filth in the educational or the, what you call, lecture hall. So in the same way, the religious leaders are being deceived. They are being called together, put in a controlled environment, whether it be a church hall, or school hall, or synagogue hall, or wherever it is. And now when they sit and discuss all their humanitarian causes and political agendas and thus, that is where all the confusion and fitna takes place. The person attending that particular event or that activity, he now leaves with total confusion. He is now mixed up because he is attending there. Because he can't criticize any shirk or kufr that others are engaged in. So just like how the boy and the girl were all getting the attraction in the lecture hall under the guise of educational purposes, in the same way the religious leaders are getting all beguiled and confused in that hall that is in a synagogue or church, and their iman is getting wiped away. The fitna don't happen right there at that moment in terms of person, his iman leaving him. He leaves that hall and now all the doubts and everything starts playing in his mind. And now he starts thinking that no, maybe I'm not on the right religion. Or maybe the idea that was taught there is a good idea. We can mix the religions. Or okay, the idea that is taught there, that no, it's fine. Or no religion preaches violence. And that it's not so bad. So it's okay, we can mix with the kuffar and mix with the munafiqeen and so on. Then he's left confused totally outside. All the seeds are planted inside that hall. So now, what is it that pulled a Muslim there to attend that activity? What pulled him there? That humanitarian cause. That's the thing that he's attending there. He's going to tell everybody, that he's going to ask him, that why were you there at the church hall? What were you involved in there? He'll say that, no, we were just engaging in discussion for humanitarian purposes. You know, there's a lot of hunger and poverty to deal with. Lot of unemployment to deal with, lot of crime to deal with, and so on. So we went there for the humanitarian cause. But what he came out with and what was he left with? Kufr and shirk. Same way with that boy and girl. You ask them what you went there for? Went to learn. But what they're doing outside? Something totally different. So this is the deception that's going on. So now, that humanitarian cause, that is the central pillar around which all the interfaith leaders had gathered. In order to for their presence to be accepted there, they have to break down all barriers, forget everything of the past, wipe out all dividing lines. And why they do this? Just for the sake of the humanitarian cause. So just like how a boy and a girl, they will forget about their deen and iman, they will forget about their haya and modesty, and they will forget about anything and everything. They will make sure they pay the fees and get the educational material, but they must make sure that they're there. Otherwise, they'll be in difficulty with the educational institute. So in the same way here, the religious leaders, they get together and they sacrifice everything of their deen. They put all the instructions of Quran one side, all the ahadith one side, all whatever the ulama are telling them. No, the humanitarian cause, that's the main thing, that's why you must be here. And they sacrifice it all and they wash the iman away. Now, this is even more serious for a Muslim in comparison to people who follow other religions. Because Quran clearly says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this deen of Islam? Why was the Quran revealed? لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ, to overpower every other religion. Even if that deen was previously also sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it could have been the deen of any Nabi. Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, whichever Nabi it was, every deen has been cancelled and abrogated, and now it's only إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. When a person attends that interface, activity, he is in no way allowed to express إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. You have to show respect and honor and reverence for all the other religious leaders and their religious texts that they bring there. So this is how iman is being sold. This is how iman is being bartered away. We mentioned right in the beginning that what is the principle issue around which interfaith revolves? It revolves around negating khatm-e-nubuwwat. Now, why is that the case? It's the case because all the people who attend there, besides the Muslims, from the very beginning, they don't believe in Khatm al-Nubuwwat. They still believe in their Anbiya and in their distorted deen, the deen that they distorted with their own hands. They don't believe in Khatm al-Nubuwwat. The Muslim will think in his heart, okay, I believe in Khatm al-Nubuwwat. But the others, they don't believe in Khatm al-Nubuwwat. So now, he is told that no, you must respect the faiths of others, and he must be quiet when kufr and shirk is being committed in front of him. So the Christian will call on whichever deity he is calling unto, the Jew will call on whichever deity he is called unto, and the Hindu will call on whichever deity he is called unto, and he must keep quiet. Not only keep quiet, he must show reverence and respect and honor. He is told from before, it's a place of worship, you must respect it and this and that. Now understand one thing very well. A masjid is a very special place in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes from sujood, where sajda takes place. Person puts the most supreme part of his body, he lowers it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in front of anyone else. You can put anything else in front of a Muslim and tell him, bow, he won't. He'll slap you, he'll tell you, how can you ask me to put my head in front of an idol? But in an interfaith setting, a person goes to a place that is not sacred in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes to a church hall, goes to a synagogue where shirk takes place. No sajda takes place. They don't put their heads on the ground. They lower themselves like that in front of pictures and statues. That is not sajda. That is reverence for statues and figures and paintings. What sajda is happening there? It's not a masjid. A masjid is a place where tawheed is expressed, not kufr and shirk. So now when a person goes to a place where kufr and shirk is taking place, that negates the work and the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the Kaaba Musharrafah, when he conquered Makkah Mukarramah, one of the first things he did, he cleaned the Kaaba out of all the idols that were there. If there was something like interfaith, then the idols should have been left there. But Islam don't tolerate shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't forgive shirk. The idols are wiped out and he sent the Sahaba to the different places to destroy the idols that people were worshipping. So, this is how interfaith is basically wiping iman out from the people's hearts. It negates the mission and the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it can never be accepted under any circumstances whatsoever. A person who attends an interfaith activity, he tacitly agrees with the negation of Khatm al-Nubuwwat, because the word interfaith itself signifies and demands that a person, he attends that activity with the prior understanding that each and every deen must be respected. Even if those religions preach everything in contrast to Islam, he's going there with the express purpose of showing respect and honor to idols, to paintings, to corrupted scriptures, and so on. So that's why we're saying that person, he is robbed blind. He has no idea that his iman has been wiped away. He's duped into thinking that the humanitarian cause, that is the actual purpose of his attendance at an interfaith activity. So we ask the question, okay, you're saying you're going for humanitarian cause. So if the humanitarian cause was the actual aim, then what's the need for interfaith leaders to participate? And in that activity, they chant prayers and they sing songs and they do all actions that denote shirk, even according to the teachings of their own Anbiya. Isa alayhi salam also forbade his followers from mixing with adherents of other religions in today's Bible. So now how is that pastor sitting there engaged in an interfaith activity? Even the Christian is being robbed blind. This is the amount and the level of deceit that is being spread to the Muslim Ummah. So the summary or the crux of the entire thing is that a person who attends an interfaith activity, he attends there because he definitely in his heart, he or she feels and understands that Islam is just one faith amongst the rest of the faith. That's why he's going there. It's not that these things are not told to them. They told from before that so and so will be attending, so and so will be speaking. These are mentioned before. The person knows what's the itinerary of the program. That's why he goes, or that's when he goes. Now, the question that will be sitting in our minds is, okay, they're doing something good. They're involved in some humanitarian cause. So doesn't Islam also teach kindness to humanity and kindness to creation? So the answer is yes. Islam is at the forefront of kindness to humanity. Islam is at the forefront of teaching people what it is to respect the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In so many parts of the world, it is the Muslims that are in the forefront of all humanitarian causes. It's the people of other religions that now started copying the Muslims. So, understand very well that a humanitarian cause, feeding the hungry, working for the sake of crime, that's fine, it's very good, no problem. But all these efforts will only have value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person will get reward for it. When a person has iman. You got no iman, that amal has no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can sing songs about humanitarian causes from now till the cows come home, that humanitarian cause that you engaged in is not going to be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are doing it in this particular setting where you have battled your iman away. So let's understand that all these kind of humanitarian causes, you won't have value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if a person has no iman. So it is with this kind of understanding in mind that Muslims around the world, what we're saying here is not for us only. We make intention for us here, for the Muslims of the country, for the Muslims of the whole world, that we call on everyone, alim, non-alim, scholar or non-scholar, professional or not professional, abandon this idea and throw it aside. Wallahi, it is the thing that you are selling your akhirat away, you are selling your deen away. To abandon all these ideas of interfaith and intrafaith and multi-faith activities, and be on your guard all the time, especially regarding your matters of iman and Islam. Because people are being deceived like never before. At any moment, it's mentioned in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any moment a person can lose his iman. So you make dua for protection from this kind of situation. Now we mentioned that the central pillar around which this whole thing revolves is denial of khatme nubuwat. So guarding the khatme nubuwat, that is the responsibility of every student, every alim. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah, he said that the dogs in the street are better than us. Better than us if we cannot guard the khatme nubuwat. We claim to be heirs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, claim to be followers of his deen. But when his deen is being attacked in this way, when iman is being battered and sold away, then every only thing we see is silence, silence, silence. No, keep quiet, no, keep quiet. So silence is not going to resolve anything. Let us understand one thing. The silence is not going to resolve anything. It's not that the attack on deen is going to stop if you keep quiet. There's many people in other countries, they already saw the bitter fruits of what I'm speaking about. They accepted this idea. They signed up for all this fix for minorities and interfaith business. And now see what is happening in India. It's not hidden from anybody. The masajid are being burned down, ulama are being killed, Muslims are being slaughtered, women are being raped. How much more evidence do we still want that the Muslim ummah is being deceived? So the idea is to understand, wake up, understand and realize, no, I'm not going to sell my deen for the sake of any cause for the sake of any person, even if so-and-so alim is telling me to do so. I will not sell my deen. My deen is very valuable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They're not going to stop. They only want you must follow in their footsteps. And when you start following them, that's when they will turn viciously against you and then they will want to wipe you out also. See, they will say, ah, you followed us, so we were right all along. If you seeking honor by following Yahud and Nasara and Hanud and Tashayu and whoever it is, remember there's no honor in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cast you aside. Honor will come to you when you honor deen. Because the moment you fall and you sell your deen, then in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you lost your own honor. In the sight of the Christians and Jews, they will say that you had no honor for your own deen. So how will they give you honor? Since when do they distribute honor? So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety, for afiyat. We renew our iman. We inform our families. We tell people in other towns, in other countries, listen, you are being deceived, you are being duped. Don't fall for this idea. If there's anybody that's engaged in this kind of activity, you tell them to come out of it. Tell them to make tawbah from it. You will never get honor in something like this by selling the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very, very, very serious thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with understanding and tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A kind request is made for everybody to come forward and fill the safs. And whoever is outside also now, just come inside the masjid and fill up the stuff, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair.